Howie. Our next topic on the agenda is building long-term care. And I think the goal here in this discussion is to decide how we want to move forward on some of these issues and which two commissioners have time and inclination to spend more time with Nathan and Steve working on these issues.
Yeah, I met with Commissioners Lachine Seitz and Commissioner Lehman this morning. We actually have a slide presentation and everything. So,
oh my gosh, hey, thanks, guys.
All because of Nathan and how wonderful he is and what a good job he's
doing. I know.
Do you want to launch right into that, commissioners? Or do you want to talk about this first? Okay, let me
take it away.
Let's see. Gail had to leave a little bit early when we met earlier, so Trish has agreed to go through the slides with me. All right.
Are you going to screen share? Yeah.
I will.
Beautiful.
All right. So long-term care.
Subtle.
I like the subtle title.
All right. Yeah, that's what Trish said too. Yeah, how to get past talking. History. So as we all know, the end of 2017, the Life Care Center of San Juan Island closed. It had a $1 million deficit annually, 76 beds, although at that point in time, they were not all being used for various numbers of reasons. And that large nursing home model is widely seen as outdated and unsustainable now. Although it should be said that it would have been within the capacity of this district to sustain. But obviously we didn't have time. And it does seem that since it's already closed and that ship has sailed, I don't think anybody has the intention of opening a large life care-like center. In 2018, a task force was organized to figure out what to do. This had eight healthcare professionals from around the community, including a former administrator of life care, Superintendent Hutchins, Beth Williams-Giger, and other people like that. And they submitted a pretty lengthy report, although it wasn't totally done. After about 8 months, they realized what they really needed to do was to do a feasibility study. And that's really where it went next. Trish, you want to take this slide?
Okay, sure. So the task force recommendations were to establish a new nursing home for rehabilitation, develop a hub and spokes model for better care coordination, develop a long-term care network that spreads across boundaries and serves clients from each island, specifically micro nursing homes on each major island, technology-based social services, home care, home health, affordable senior housing.
You know, this task force fills a similar role as the Citizens Advisory Group on Integration. It's not so much that every recommendation must by its nature be totally accurate, but it does reflect a pretty intensive process of evaluating what it would take to create a model that could fill the gap.
Work meeting.
Hey, Steve.
I didn't realize.
Okay. I'm going to. All right. The feasibility study. The long-term task force recommended a feasibility study which could formally establish need. This was necessary to apply for grants. It was also sort of necessary if you're going to build services or something of that nature to determine what the actual need is. They reached out to the Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation, which was a 501 and is a 501c3. And could take donations. They needed $50,000. They contracted with Jody Corona's company. And their hope was that they'd be able to evaluate the cost requirements of each of the solutions outlined in the long-term care task force. They also hope to come up with potential governance organizational models. Some of these things you can see were carried forward significantly, like the, trying to figure out a potential governance organizational model. And you've heard today some of the work that resulted from that 9-month process so far on the planning grant. The Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation had the hospital district chair and vice chair, and the hospital district also contributed quite a bit of money to that feasibility study.
Yeah, and I'm not going to read this off to you, but this is, some of you hopefully have seen this before, but this was the result of the study, or really it was a survey that was done then, so that people over age 70 could answer these questions, and we could get a sense of, what are the needs? What are people, what's going on with folks here in our county? And I think really in short order, we got a nice number of responses from this. And it was very enlightening to see. We have a pretty healthy county, relatively speaking, although enormous, we're rolling into, enormous needs, and people regularly are going to the mainland for long-term care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sobering numbers. That's from 2019. Yeah. I'm not going to read all of these. We recapped some of the findings of the survey. Nearly 3/4 of respondents did report at least one healthcare condition. But more than one in every four respondents reported three or more healthcare conditions. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that Life Care Center, when it closed, was almost entirely Medicaid patients as well. So these are people that had high economic need as well as significant healthcare problems.
Yeah.
37% of respondents indicated they tried to access community long-term care services, couldn't find them, or were not able to access them. There is a range of needs. Not everyone needs nursing facilities, and that's part of why the care coordination idea comes from. Essentially, you can try to keep as many people in the home as possible, but at some point, many people will need care facilities. Trish, do you want to go over any of these survey results?
Well, let's see. I'm just wondering, everyone, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at any of this information, but I hate reading this to all of you, but 69% of the respondents indicated they were aware of someone having to relocate from San Juan, Orcas, Lopez, or Shaw. And I think that's pretty significant. 70% of the respondents aware that someone had to relocate off island to go to the mainland for care needs. And 23%, nearly a fourth of the respondents with three or more conditions will need state-funded Medicaid support. So, this is huge, because I will tell you, and Gail is working with this on a regular basis, finding Medicaid beds for long-term care on the mainland is very, very challenging. And often you have to go to a whole nother, it's not necessarily going to be in Skagit County, or it might be down in Snohomish County. And make sure, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
No? Okay, good. My AirPods just died. I think we really need to be looking at the fact that not only do we have the long-term care needs and in-home and in-facility, but we have the financial need, which is enormous. So, if you want to go to the next slide.
So you guys have, the survey results were sent to everyone in 2019. And I don't know, have you all seen them? Because you guys came on, most of you came on the board in 2020. Have any of you not seen those survey results? I can certainly send them out to the board again. So in 2019, they do the feasibility study. The feasibility study leads to the two HRSA grants, which focus on care coordination and building a network. But at that point, really, the entire idea of facilities sort of left the conversation. And, you know, there's sustainability aspects to the care coordination as well that are an issue. Even in the discussion tonight, you know, with the, over the planning grant, you know, we aren't currently contemplating to build facilities countywide or to run services countywide through the planning grant. I don't think at this point anybody really thinks that's feasible, but that seems to have been one of the original aims.
That's true. I mean, through this conversation, particularly being able to work with a commissioner from Lopez Hospital District and a commissioner from Orcas Hospital District, we all have different needs on each island. And, you know, Lopez has a Hamlet House, and Orcas really has nothing. They've got one adult family home with maybe two or three beds. And we have a Village at the Harbor. So, you know, each island does have its own specific needs. And we realized that because of our geographic challenges, you know, certainly there are some things we can share in terms of services, but creating one entity that could service all islands was not realistic for a long-term care. So, you want to go to the next slide?
I don't think we've talked about this one.
Something more to say? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, basically, okay, we talked about the planning grant. We should also add the care coordination grant, as it's currently designed, is not financially sustainable. The rate is less than $100 per visit. So you would need something like 500 or more visits a year to generate $50,000 in revenue. Your costs, your labor costs, by contrast, unless you're relying very heavily on volunteers, are likely to be significantly above that. Just the cost of employing, as the system currently does, a paramedic, you know, even our least expensive medics make mid-60s plus benefits, and for full-time employment costs the district $90,000 to $100,000 a year for a first-year paramedic. So, you know, part of the issue here too is, you know, the care coordination needs to be attached to an entity that can afford to subsidize that kind of care. And that makes sense as part of, you know, in a sort of a community paramedicine-like fashion, you know, to reduce the stress on any facility you may have. And you're trying to keep people in their home as much as they can so they don't have to build, you know, a large volume of facilities. And it also serves the additional purpose of people get checked out of a facility, they go home, you're able to provide them some kind of care in their home afterwards. Anything else on this, Trish?
I don't think so. I think okay. You covered that. Yeah.
You want to take this one?
Okay. So in 2018, the long-term care task force wanted to solve long-term care problems, recommended a suite of options from facilities to care coordination. So they just came up with, you know, ideas of, you know, what we need in our community with the closure of Life Care Centers of America. In 2019, the feasibility study was funded with $50,000. The application for the HRSA grants happened, and a narrowed focus care coordination and county network building. So, you know, we're working on the care coordination now with that three-year grant. And then, as you just heard from Ann, what's happening with the network planning grant and what's happening. 2020, continuing the, well, that's was the application. So work on the planning grant, the care coordination and COVID-19. And there was then the focus on the outcome of the grants. And that's what we're rolling into here with 2021, certainly the planning grant. And, you know, which is hopefully the stepping stone, as Beth said, and Anne, to a bigger grant. I mean, at $300,000 a year, that could be enormous for building, you know, what we need, or at least the beginnings of that. So you want to go to the next slide? Or do you have anything more to add on that? Anything?
I don't think so. Okay. So just to kind of review, you know, care coordination is valuable, but it does need a sponsor. Otherwise, it's just going to go away at the end of its term. The planning grant is building a countywide advocacy system. If they're able to get some money in 2023, you know, that might help, you know, facilitate some sharing of resources. Maybe there are, you know, but $300,000 a year is actually not a ton of money if you're looking at building something like this. Nevertheless, you know, there is value in advocacy because there are a number of legal fixes and regulatory fixes that would help, you know, and having that connection is useful, particularly with the county government's participation. And, you know, that long-term care task force, it's been a couple of years, but, you know, the CAG, the Citizens Advisory Group, that was a couple of years ago too, right? But, you know, we've gone through that process of including the public and having, you know, having say and getting a report from them. And that also led to the feasibility study. You know, we've got great data on need and on the situation in our county, and has generated sort of a will to solve problems. And a lot of people participated in that survey and are now anticipating, you know, that we're going to somehow solve that problem. We're aware of the problem and we have detailed information on it. Whatever we do going forward, we'll build on the work that has come over the last 3 years. Anything to add, Trish?
No, I don't think so.
So what's next? Okay. You know, the planning grant is not going to build facilities for us. It's not going to solve the basic problem that we began with, and neither is care coordination. However, they're useful components of a solution, but we need to be thinking about, you know, what can we actually do, and, you know, how long are we really willing to wait to accomplish that?
Yeah.
Do you want to take this?
Yes. So it is time to concretely address facility-based care needs. With Life Care Center closed, you know, there's nobody stepping up saying, oh, I'm going to fix this. I want to run, you know, a long-term care facility. You know, we've got Village at the Harbor, but there's nobody else. So who's going to do it? And I think that's where we are here today with our public hospital district to provide this a fix. And I think, I personally think we have a strong responsibility to this community, to our island, to begin to fix this problem. And it is well within our financial capability if public will support a lid lift to solve some of these issues. And also within that, create an entity that can run the care coordination program, and which does fit well with a long-term care facility. As we know, it can keep enrollments down, like which community paramedicine does with EMS, and it can allow us to help follow up on patients who leave the facility for home. So it would be a continuity of care. So you're not just meeting one need, you're meeting the multiple needs in that continuity of care, which is what you always want to be looking at with someone, you know, when they're first admitted, say for a short stay in long-term care, what's the next step when they discharge home, and we have the opportunity now with care coordination to follow people into the home or just be taking care of people in the home. And we know that care coordination is not sustainable on its own at this point. We've got the 3-year grant, and I think it's going to do some great work for us, but we need to be able to support that to keep that in our community, and it will cut down on people going to the emergency room, people going to the hospital, keeping people with multiple chronic illnesses from ER visits, 911 calls, and hopefully being flown off the island. So it's an important component to long-term care is the care coordination.
Thank you, Trish.
Yeah. And we talked about,
please.
Oh, I was just going to say, today with Gail, I mean, this is the work she's doing. We talked about, she knows what the needs are on our island, and adult daycare is something we could do, memory care activities, respite care, supporting home health, healthcare training within a facility, and support for healthcare workers. I mean, we have to be able to support our healthcare workers to be able to continue to have them, because we know they are at a premium. We know this is a nationwide problem. Nathan, want to add anything?
Yeah, you know, memory care activities. We're not necessarily contemplating, you know, a full memory care center, which is extremely labor intensive. And probably as nice as it would be to have, not terribly practical for our island, but we could provide some level of memory care activities, daily activities, along with adult daycare. These sorts of things can really make a difference for families that are just sort of on the edge. They don't really need a memory care center yet, but they need something. And it also really helps caregivers, particularly family members who provide care. You know, if you're trying to provide care to your father, your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather, your spouse, whomever, and you're responsible for that 24/7, and there's no way if you go do groceries or that kind of thing, you're going to end up having to pay for care. You can drop someone off at adult daycare, you know, to allow you to accomplish other tasks and purposes. You've managed to save someone having to enter the system in a more significant way. We will obviously need to assess the viability of all of these things, but these are the kinds of things we're looking at. But really, go ahead, Trish.
Oh, I mean, the big challenge is facilities and replacing what was lost when LifeCare closed without running a massive unsustainable facility, because we know that the model that LifeCare had here is a model that's unfortunately not sustainable. Nursing homes are closing, probably every month. I mean, I think, I want to say, don't quote me on this, but I want to say that I believe Evan Proles had said 16 nursing homes closed across Washington State in a year's time. So we have to be looking at a different model. And we can partner with a local facility and use that as a springboard, or we can build our own. But doesn't it make sense to partner with perhaps Village at the Harbor? And we need Medicaid beds. We don't know about Medicare, but Medicare beds are sorely needed. But that's that piece, I think, you know, is down the line. But definitely Medicaid beds would be imperative. And we could do that with, again, partnering with our local assisted living. And so in order for this to be done to break even, if we can add public money, we can prevent staff attrition and build a capable and motivated staff. Because one of the problems with Medicaid funding is we know it doesn't cover the costs. So that's one of the big challenges with nursing homes. I mean, our nursing home had, at a minimum, 70% of LifeCare Centers of America was Medicaid. So these are all people who have spent down their resources, and Medicaid is supporting their long-term care needs. So this is, we've got to be able to do this. And certainly it's a challenge, but it much easier working with an entity that's done it before. And my hope is that we can do this perhaps with Village at the Harbor.
So if we're going to accomplish that, there's some significant to-dos. first is really a cost estimate, figuring out specifically what's possible. I've had Steve working on some numbers for this kind of thing, and talking with local partners, people that we could partner with, seeing what if the village is interested and what that would look like. There's so many things to pick from, but we would need to determine what the cost would be. A very rough estimate for just 30 beds, you know, plus a care coordination wing. Very rough, but at least $3 to $4 million. But that is well within what we could do with a lid lift and probably a bond or potentially private donations of some kind. Peace Health was built with $10 million in private donations. And private donations are great for building facilities. People put people's names on them. You know, you can, you get this really nice thing that everybody can see and feel like, well, I helped build that. But what you can't use private money for is to pay a nurse's wages and benefits year after year. And Anne alluded to that today too, is, you know, the limitations of what private money can and can't do. And then, you know, we need to determine if realistically we can partner. And then there's a large public outreach component. But really, what we need to do is figure out if this is viable and what it would cost if we have a partner or not. And we need to do that by the deadline to submit a ballot measure, which is August 3rd. And we would need to, and then we could launch into, you know, a pretty big public outreach process. Most public outreach processes for a little lift would be about 3 months. You know, that's about as much attention as you're likely to get. And is probably viable, but it's, you know, we'd be taking on a lot and we should be upfront about that. Anything you want to add on this, Trish?
No, I think, you know, it's ambitious, but I think it's doable for this year. Absolutely. Yeah.
So what we need, if we're going to move forward on this project, we need 1 to 2 commissioners who are available from now to the end of July. Commissioners who will be able to meet weekly with me, be able to do some assignments, be able to, you know, be pretty flexible on this so that we can really, you know, one of the biggest things that slows down getting work done is always scheduling. It's just getting a meeting to happen. And a lot of times, like, well, we can't meet for 3 weeks out. You know, so like, it's going to be a big thing here is having people that are flexible and able to really set aside quite a bit of time through July to work on this. And we would need the board collectively and individually to be willing to back it. There would be a significant public advocacy component of this. You know, you would need to be able and willing to be champions of this all the way through the fall. There are rules about what you can and can't do in campaigning. But you and Matt Ellsworth from the AWPHD, who gave me considerable advice on this, tells me that it is a common problem across the state where commissioners often feel they are not allowed to campaign. And that is not at all the case. You just can't use a publicly paid for facility or staff resources, that kind of thing. But you can absolutely go out in the community and advocate for something. After all, you can campaign for your own election seat, right? And that means campaigning on issues and advocating. So if we move forward, you know, we'll get some good guidance on what you can and can't do. And it seems like we'd have to have 1 or 2 special meetings in July to go over the plan with the board and talk through various things. You know, even, you know, the complexities of a lid lift, which, you know, I understand pretty well and can explain where there are some decisions we made there. You know, you can do multi-year, single-year, permanent, temporary. You know, there's a lot of permutations on what a little lift means and also determining a bond. I will say, you know, the key thing here is that tax money does not take effect till the following year. So we wait till, say, February, April. We don't get that money till 2023. However, a bond, you know, you can, if it passes, you can then sell the bond, issue the bond, and a bank can pick that up. You can get that done more quickly. But you got to be able to afford to pay that bond, the bond payment annually. Trish, anything you want to add on that?
I don't think so.
Okay. So we need the following by August 3rd. A credible plan for use of public money to help solve the challenge of long-term care. We would, you know, need to have a plan that can really pass scrutiny, that's a reasonable plan. It doesn't mean it can't change. It doesn't mean, you know, we can even propose a backup plan. We can say, well, if this doesn't work out, we're doing that. But we should have a relatively concrete plan in place. We would need to have a tax and ballot measure approved by the board on July 28th. And we would need a public outreach plan, but we don't necessarily have to start that public outreach. It would be prudent to start talking to very key members of the community, you know, so that no one's blindsided by this and build consensus. But this is something that's been talked about for years, and which everyone is expecting we will at some point fund. So it shouldn't really be a shock. Ideally, you know, we would have another group of people not affiliated with the district to help sponsor it and advocate for it. I'm also told that public hospital districts are doing better this year than usual. The average historically is like 20% of public hospital district levy little lifts pass statewide. It's very shockingly low. But, you know, historically on our island, we tend to do better. You know, there's a lot of support for this kind of thing because of COVID. Okay. So, and then, you know, there's, you know, Trish and I were feeling a little bit grand, so we included quotes from ourselves. So Trish said, it's easy to not realize that every day there are people in this community that need these services. We need to act now. I really think that's true. Trish, do you want to expand on that at all?
Yes, because if we don't act now and we have to wait a year, we're talking about pushing this off two more years, really, because if we go for the lid lift next year, I mean, we don't do it this year and we don't attempt. And granted, we don't know if it's going to pass or not, but at least we need to make an effort. I truly believe that, because if we don't, we're another year away. And we've got a tsunami of long-term care needs that's rolling in every day. And I feel we have a responsibility as our public hospital district here on this island to address this need. And, you know, there's just been a lot of work done now, as you can see, looking at the timeline, there's been a lot of work that's gone into this. And now here we are, you know, 3 years later, and I believe the time is now. So I hope those of you that maybe have questions can get some of those answered, or, you know, I'd love to hear from my fellow commissioners their thoughts about this. But let's first go to Nathan's quote, and I'll read that.
All right, here's my grand quote.
Yep.
You know, this is quite personal to me. You know, I spent 10 years dealing with my own health crisis and needed care. You know, I had family willing to step up and take care of me. I know that people give me sideways looks when I mention this. I obviously don't seem like someone who would have this experience, but I have, you know, 10 years of very serious health challenges. And, you know, many people don't have that. And, you know, when you get sick, you know, the idea that in 5 years it'll reach something is not terribly comforting. You know, we need to be We need to have a viable plan. It needs to actually make sense. We should not be excessively hasty. You know, part of taking care of people means a reasonable plan, and rushing would be a bad idea. We don't want to risk a program that could really make a difference. But if we can do it, I really feel like we owe it to people to give them options, particularly those people that didn't have the option that I had, which is the help of family. And fortunately for me, you know, I was able to, for most of that time, you know, climb stairs and do basic self-care things. But many people can't and also don't have money. And I know that I doubt anybody here really argues the necessity of this. We all probably agree on that. But we should decide if now is the time and if we can really move forward to getting this done. If we can actually move from talking to action. We can move from, you know, the last 3 years of sort of all this planning and move towards actually trying to accomplish something. And if we're not ready to do that, then we can do it next year. But I would hate to miss this opportunity because we weren't aware that this was coming. You know, and I think many of you articulated to me, and this is kind of my impression too, is we sort of were letting the grants go through the process and assuming that was going to be where we need to be. And we're sort of realizing now that those grants are necessary and valuable, but they're only really part of the picture. So that's really all I have to say about this. And I would turn it back to Trish and the board for further discussion.
I would just love to hear from each of you, your thoughts. I'm going to ask Kyle. I'll put you on this hot seat because you always have good questions, Kyle.
I do think we need a credible plan. And I think 5 weeks is a very short time period for putting one together. So especially if we're proposing to coordinate with somebody else, align with them, I guess, to operate this, or maybe we operate it. I'm not sure we even know the answer exactly to that at this point. I think it sounds like others have reached a conclusion that this is something we need to do. It sounds like this could, I suppose, integrate well with the care coordination that's going to come out of the network, whatever that is. I'm not really clear on what that network thing was, honestly. And it sounds like we also don't know what the price tag is associated with it either, but there will be something. So there'd be costs that we'd need to pay there, potentially, in addition to this as well. So that would be, I think, really helpful to know. But basically, just so I understand this proposal, it's to operate or fund. I'll say fund roughly a 30-bed facility.
I think the hope is to go and see what's accomplishable with the amount of money we can raise. And the belief is that that's probably a baseline goal that we could likely accomplish. But I think we need to talk to healthcare, like long-term care professionals, and see, you know, what is reasonable. But sort of going into those talks, that's the hope, to actually have Medicaid beds.
Well, I think there's also there's a whole range of what we could do. And my whole thing is, as opposed to, like, if the network decide, HRSA planning grant decided, we're going to build facilities, you know, we don't want to manage a facility. So if we have a partner who manages a facility, we can add to that facility in whatever way is feasible. It could be as small as building 4 beds and having an adult daycare program, and that could be what we do. Or we could add more than that and do more than that. But I think we can take off a chunk, and any chunk is going to help our community. So whatever we're comfortable with and whatever they're comfortable with and whatever capacity there is would be what it is. And I guess we don't know the answer to that, but I think there's definitely a range. We don't have to build a 30-room facility because we really have to depend on the healthcare workers we have now and the management we have now. So I don't see the management and the healthcare workers in the facility here right now having enough capacity to really serve that many more beds, but we could start smaller than that and look at Medicaid beds, because that's what matters the most, is being able to put people that are lower income in somewhere. So, and help manage the care coordination grant through the facility as well.
And really, we could take a much, you know, smaller footprint approach here too, and just, I don't know, pay a certain amount of money to help operations go better for long-term care and open, you know, enable them to take better care of their staff. And there are a range of options on the table here. But, you know, we definitely need a viable plan. And 5 weeks, that may or may not be doable. I honestly don't know. I would like to try, wouldn't be proposing this if I didn't. I think we should try. But if we can't get a viable plan, then we're going to need to delay. Yeah.
Exactly. I agree completely. If we can't come up with a plan in the 5 weeks, then, you know, we'll wait till next year. But I think it's worth a shot to see what we can do, and whether or not this is the first step, you know, a baby step towards, you know, starting off with, you know, 4 Medicaid beds or 6 Medicaid beds, and seeing where we can go with that.
It feels to me like 5 weeks is too short, but if we don't try, we know for sure we won't succeed. And the other thing is, it sounds like we're sort of splitting off from the county and doing our own thing. Like we're kind of giving up. I mean, possibly having a foot in each boat, sort of participating with the county. But in the meantime, we're saying, well, we're going to do what we're going to do.
Everett, can I just clarify, when you say splitting off from the county, what do you mean by splitting off?
I mean the HRSA, and the planning.
But yeah, and I thought so. But that was the important thing, I think, that we came to the conclusion with, that each island is going to have to do what's going to work for them. So this is not us splitting off from them, but us as San Juan Island doing what we can for our island. So I see this as dovetailing into, you know, the work we've done with the network planning, for sure. And this is one piece of it for San Juan Island. Lopez is going to have to do what's going to fit their needs. Orcas is going to have to do what fits their needs. And we identified that. And as hospital district commissioners, we were very clear that each island has their own needs. So, you know, this is us now saying.
Yeah, I don't understand then how it works, because it sure sounds like we're going to do our thing. Sorry.
Well,
we're going to make the plan. Well, we're going to get the money, and we're going to do our thing.
we're responsible to our island with our money. We're not responsible to the whole county. And so what we're doing with that network grant, from what I understand, is we're working together to advocate for greater services in the county. We might need to have a network in order to go out for grants that are countywide grants. And so the network is going to serve as an advocacy place, and it's going to serve as a communication place. So by us taking a step to do this, we gather information about how this process would work. And then some other Orcas or Lopez can look at that and say, oh, we have an entity that we'd like to do this with. And now we have somebody who's taken that step to do it already, and now we've learned more from that. So I think, because I think we're never going to pool money, and we're never going to pay for a facility on Lopez from our money, because we don't serve Lopez clients. We're just going to use that money to be advocates together, but we're not going to put out a big chunk to do some big project, I don't think.
No.
That wouldn't be my goal.
I
don't think you're saying that this is exclusive of these care coordination grants, that we're actually looking at the situation and seeing that this is an emergency of some sort. You know, they're talking about this tsunami of healthcare needs that's coming our way. And you're looking at this proposal is looking at a way to partner with another healthcare provider in our community to subsidize financially so we can provide care, whether it be more Medicaid beds, whether it be you know, adult daycare like you're talking about, or in the future building, you know, more room within that facility for more beds for care. And so right now we have a problem with, we don't have housing for people, for the workforce that we need, because the workforce can't afford to live here based on the wages they're being paid. So we need to figure out a way to subsidize our workforce so we can have care that is local rather than somewhere in Marysville, which is a huge financial hardship for people and is isolating for our residents.
And also I see us as maybe, you know, being the first of the three big islands to see what's going to work for us. And maybe some piece of that is going to work for Lopez. Some different piece of that is going to work for Orcas. We don't know. I mean, that's the thing with that was just planning. That network planning grant was simply planning. It was identifying needs, identifying resources, looking at what we have as a whole county, but also identifying that, and I think Ann mentioned this, that, you know, what became abundantly clear is, you know, there's no way that we're going to create some entity that's going to work for all three islands. So that was a good piece of information that we gained clarity on. We still have, you know, through hopefully the ILA, we're going to create the three islands as, you know, an entity that could go for funding, grants. We have more clout with the three islands working together. But again, we have to carve out what's going to work on each individual island. And so I see us as sort of setting a, you know, we're saying, hey, we're going to go for this and see what we can create. And maybe they'll get some ideas that might work, you know, for Lopez and Orcas from that. I don't know, you know. I mean, well, honestly... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's past time to do something. We have the information. We've done the survey. We see the need. We've been talking about this for years. I think it's time. I'd love to see your plan. I'd love to see what you can come up with in the next few weeks and to see if we as a board agree to take action.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
It may not happen. And, you know, again, I didn't know, you know, we were on this timeline of August 3rd until very recently, you know, with the lid lift. And again, it's taken me some time being on the network planning grant committee to wrap myself around what this is all about. I didn't fully understand it when I started. So, and it's really all about just, it's sort of like that first step. And now we're taking our piece and we're saying, okay, San Juan Island, we're going to see what we can do because we all have the same, we've all got the same challenges in terms of we are underserved, we are underserving our aging population. And this is one way that perhaps we can help serve, you know, in a way that's been identified. And You know, I just see it as another, as a baby step to maybe where we can go. But I don't know what we can do in the next 5 weeks. You know,
this goes back to our values as a board of providing care to our community. And I think we have to try. So thank you for putting this together. That's my opinion. I want to hear more about what your proposal is. I think there will be support for it in the community based on the age of our population and their potential future needs and their immediate needs.
If we try, the big variable here is, you know, we've tossed around the name of the Village of the Harbor. We don't really know what their appetite for this is yet. Mm-hmm. You know, we've, you know, had some discussion, but it's not very far along. You know, and this timetable may turn out to just not at all be viable. But it's also quite possible that we can work out the sketch of something that would work. relatively quickly. And if, you know, we get to where, you know, we've got to decide and we're like, well, we just don't quite have a plan in place, you know, that work, you know, will then lead into next year and continuing, you know, won't be waste of effort. But I don't want to like stir things up and everything unless the board's really willing to do this. And I would definitely need like one or two commissioners who are really willing and able to help.
I want to help, this but I Kale. Have very little.
This is Kale. But Kale. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I called in because I'm driving home right now because I'm not staying in my office any longer. So I'm here, and I just want you to know that I'm a call-in at this point. But I support the project and would be a commissioner that could be available to help create this kind of plan. And, you know, I think it's just worth looking at. And then, of course, the board would look at what we come up with and see if it seems viable. If not, again, it would just be a foundation for going forward.
Great.
And thank I you. Certainly am willing. I am Nathan and Gail know I'm going to be out of town from June 30th until July 12th, but I will be available, you know, by phone and by video conferencing during that time. And then when I get back the 12th of July, I'll be here in person. So I'm absolutely willing to work on this. And but I hear what you're saying, Everett. I do want to acknowledge that, you know, it does take some wrapping your head around this planning grant to understand, well, what are we accomplishing here? What do we really get from this grant? So we're not getting a thing. We're just getting, you know, identifying what are some of the challenges, you know, what are some of the resources we already have here, what can we do, what can't we do. But again, and I think that goes to the first slide that Nathan pointed out, okay, now let's go past the talking. You know, we've got a plan, we've got some ideas, we know what a lot of our challenges are, and housing and workforce are enormous. But again, you know, if we don't at least attempt to see what we can do in the next 5 weeks, I just feel like it's a lost opportunity if we don't at least try.
Yeah, well, I agree that we should try, as I said before, that if we don't try, you know, we fail for sure. So, and I have about half of July, second half of July available, first half not so. But and yeah, I agree. I think our challenges with people and places for people to stay are at least as big as worrying about the village at the harbor. In fact, I worry about that far less than places than adult daycare and places for aides to stay, so that we could hire aides that aren't going to bail on us every time the summer tourism season starts. You know, I mean, that, you know, I remember Catherine telling me what it was like at Life Care when the summer came along and all the aides disappeared because they could get paid more bussing tables at a restaurant, you know? And, you know, that, so actually we have a lot of challenges. And so this plan really needs to be a complete plan, not just a facility, but it needs to be the whole thing, especially if we want to sell it to the community, not just a replacement for Life Care. So, and I would be willing to participate in that.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, one of the things I feel, and I don't even know if this is viable, but, you know, we've got to increase wages. There's no way that we can do this without paying, you know, probably $25 an hour to the caregivers. So
You know, is this something we can build into our plan to help subsidize wages? I don't know, but I think
they make $25 an hour cleaning house.
Yeah.
So why should they want a clean butt?
Yeah.
Because but it's better than $17 an hour, you know? Yeah. I mean, but whatever. I'm just throwing a number out there. But, you know, gosh, you can make $35. I have a friend making $35 an hour cleaning houses.
Yes, yeah. I know.
So, but you're talking, you know, if you could pay somebody $25 an hour and you could give them benefits, wow, that's enormous.
I tell you, my dishwasher at the restaurant probably makes $35 an hour just in because of the tips. So it's a hard sell. Yeah. I get it.
Yes. So, you know.
So it sounds like we're going to move forward. I will be a cheerleader, and I am thrilled. This is very exciting, and I thank you all for taking this on. I don't have very much free time in the summer, as you know, but I will do whatever I can when the fall comes to be 100% supportive of this. I do want to take a quick break because I know we need to probably wrap up this topic and get into reports. And we also have an executive session on our agenda, and it's getting close to 8 o'clock. So if we're all in consensus that Gail and Trish and Nathan and Steve are going to take on this project and bring us a presentation soon, I'm happy to move on from this topic if the rest of you are.
Would the board consider actually a motion to authorize us to negotiate with a partner on this? Not to execute, but to act, you know, if we're going to go ahead and actually represent ourselves wanting to make a deal, I feel like we need a motion of some kind.
So you want a motion to give the long-term care committee authorization to negotiate on behalf of the public hospital district?
Yes.
Without executing any contracts? Just
correct.
You're just talking
right, about just to negotiate.
Yeah.
I'll make that motion.
I move to authorize the long-term care committee to negotiate on behalf of the public hospital district. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Just a quick note.
Yeah.
No, you negotiate. Just want to make sure. Yeah, no decision will be made, and that would come back to us, of course, to review. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. Affirmative.
This is a very interesting process that we're engaging
Outreach? Is that a better word than negotiate? Outreach, advocate? I don't know.
I think he's asking for more than outreach. But I can let Superintendent Butler speak to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big thing. We're going to go to another entity, and we're going to try to actually see if we can get a deal. And I want to be able to tell them that our board gave us a mandate, that the board is aware of and supportive of our efforts to work with them. We will absolutely bring back any deal to the board for execution and for comment, and absolutely include all of you. But, you know, I've found in the short time that I've been in this role that having that mandate from the board, where when you go into a meeting and they know that you can actually make a deal, makes all the difference in the world. Granted, you've got to bring the deal back to the board. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you couldn't actually make the deal. But okay, all right.
But they know that you've got something.
Again, a very interesting process. Well, my guess is that through that process, you'd be able to come back with pretty clear contours of the financing that would be required. So yeah. I imagine that would slot pretty well into the plan that you're putting together for raising taxes, which I think is going to be very important, right? What are we trying to raise money for? So,
right.
And it sounds like we're not clear on the specifics yet. So, okay. And I don't think you need our authority personally to go negotiate things and then bring it back to us. I think that's probably the role.
That is true. I could probably do it without a motion, but I would feel better if, you know, I knew the board was supportive of this in a formal sense.
In that case, I think Gail seconded this. We've had discussion. May I call for a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. And
I abstain. Yeah, I'm going to abstain. I don't feel like we have enough information exactly about this, but I also don't feel like Mr. Butler needs our authority to have these conversations.
Okay, everybody. So you have the go ahead, and we look forward to more information. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to call for just a 5-minute break before we head into the reports and then into executive session, if that's okay with everyone. Thank you.
At 8 p.m., the meeting took a short break.